Please turn to Psalm 42, verses 3 and 10. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is your God? Mocking, taunting, jeering, unbelief, and criticism of us, of God, or of His Word can take a mighty emotional toll on you. Believe me, I know. I've been through all of it. The coercion of worldly people and their crushing words will do one of two things to you. It will discourage and depress you, or make you more determined to be and to do what God wants in your life. For example, in 1651 in Massachusetts, Reverend Obadiah Holmes, because he held a prayer meeting in his home, was ordered to be whipped by Governor Endicott. So severe was the whipping that for days he could lie only by resting on his elbows and his knees. And yet, when the last lash had fallen, he looked at his tormentors and through blood-stained lips cried, Gentlemen, you have whipped me with roses. You have whipped me with roses. Obadiah was determined to follow the Lord no matter what the cost. He had a thirst for God in his life. When we look at King David in our text, we find that David has emotionally been wrung out. His son is trying to kill him. He had to flee his land and his people, and now he's being either questioned by family or friends, or is being taunted by foreigners who say, Where is your God? Where is your God? When it is family or friends that are asking this question, it is painful because we're so close to them. And sometimes they're dependent upon us to care for them. And they wonder what is going to happen next. You and your God. You and following God. What are you going to do next? Christ's own family members came looking for him, saying that he was out of his mind also. Following the Lord many times will cause family and friends to question, Where is your God? What has happened to him? Will your God take care of us? The reproach and revilement of David's enemies, as well as all the other turmoil in his life, has been so painful that he describes it as a sword in his bones in verse 10. As with a sword in my bones. The word sore in Hebrew is the word retzak, which means killing, slaying, breaking in pieces, or crushing. The reproaches of people were like the crushing of his bones. The extremely painful, crushing complaints have brought him to a point where he is weeping frequently, day and night. The taste of his salty tears have been constant on his lips, and like diamond droplets, they glitter in the eyes of David. His appetite was gone. His tears not only seasoned his meat, but became his only meat. The constant weeping is significant in the fact that we find a man weeping. There's nothing wrong in weeping if you're a man, but the fact that it is constant reveals the distress that David is experiencing. David is a king. When a king or a president of a country weeps, That is front page news. Kings are usually very dignified, and they put on a show of strength. But this king is broken and desperate for God's help and God's strength. Brothers and sisters, many times God uses the pressure and the pessimism of people to create a thirst for him in our lives. He uses the pressure that is caused by people to create a thirst for him, for his power, for his comfort, for his encouragement, for his joy. We are in such agony and distress that the only thing that will relieve us is the presence of the Lord and his comfort. And this is why the Lord allows these kind of people in our lives sometimes, so that we can cry out as the psalmist, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Where is your God?" There may be people in your church, in your family, your neighbors, fellow students, fellow workers. If you're facing this situation in your life, use it to drive you to the Lord. Face it, nothing else is going to really help you but the Lord. Nothing is going to help you when all of life is saying, where is your God? Do you have these kind of problems that I'm speaking of? You have problems with your kids, with your friends, then thirst for God. You got problems with other Christians, thirst for God. When David was verbally mocked and cursed by Shammai, he directed his focus to the Lord instead of taking revenge. He trusted God and turned the problem over to the Lord. Look at 2 Samuel 16, verses 9 through 12. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said to Abishai and to all the servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord has bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will require me good for his cursing this day." Do you have a thirst for God? Realize that the Lord may use difficult people to create that thirst when men and women drink from God's well of living water. They're being nourished by him who is eternal, everlasting, and omnipotent. The Lord used this man, Shammai, to curse David, to make David thirst even more for God Almighty. A.W. Tozer describes this thirst that we're speaking of today as a craving for God, as a piercing sweetness. This craving for God. Come on. Tell the truth. Do you crave God? Do you crave for him? Do you hunger as if you hadn't eaten for days? Do you thirst for him if you hadn't had a drink for a long time in a desert? This is what we're talking about. and our text. As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Tozer said of this piercing sweetness, God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I'm painfully conscious of my need for further grace. I'm ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing, and I thirst to be made thirsty still. Can we pray this, brothers and sisters? I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing, and I thirst to be made thirsty still. Brothers and sisters, do you long to be filled with longing for him? That's what's going on in the text. The Lord is causing David to hunger and to thirst for him. Do we long to be filled with a longing for him? The thirst that we have for God will finally be quenched when we meet him in death or he returns to come and get us. We will be completely satisfied in that day. Until then, though, we will continue to thirst for him. Today, we may drink from his presence and his spirit. Today. But tomorrow, we must do it again. We must be filled with the Spirit. That's a daily thing, brothers and sisters. We're to be dependent upon God for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Where is your God? If we fail to have a passion, a craving, a desire, a thirst for God, we will become spiritually anemic, apathetic, and we will become arrogant, argumentative, and antagonistic. For these reasons, we need to thirst for his power, for his presence, for the comfort, his comfort, and his closeness. We're to want to yield to him. This is a wonderful place for us to be. A place where fire for the worship of our Lord burns so bright that nothing can extinguish it. Even the mightiest rivers of opposition cannot put it out or wash it away. Do you and I have this kind of thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me end this teaching with an ancient tale from India about a young man who was seeking God. He went to a wise old sage for help. How can I find God? He asked the old man. The old man took him to a nearby river. Out they waded into the deep water. Soon the water was up just under their chins. Suddenly, the old man seized the young man by the neck and pushed him under the water. He held the young man down until the young man was flailing the water in desperation. Another minute and he may well have drowned. Up out of the water, the two of them came. The young man was coughing water from his lungs, wheezing and still gasping for air. Reaching the bank of the river, he asked the man indignantly, "What did that have to do with my finding God?" The old man asked him quietly, "While you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else?" The young man thought for a moment and then answered, "I wanted air. I wanted air more than anything else." The old man replied, "When you want God, as much as you wanted air, you will find them. Brothers and sisters, we are the hunger and thirst for his righteousness. We're to pray that God brings us to the place that we would say, as the psalmist, my tears have been by me day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Brothers and sisters, we the hunger and the thirst for our God. We are the chase after Christ. Christ is to be our all. Why are thy cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Brothers and sisters, may we hunger and thirst and chase after the Lord our God daily, not once, daily. Give us this day our daily bread. And he said, he is the bread of life, but we must chase it day after day. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you're probably saying to yourself, what in the world is this man talking about? I'm talking about a soul, the souls of men and women that have come to Jesus Christ. He saved them from their sins. He paid for their sins. He shed his blood for their sins. He died on a cross and was buried and was raised again the third day for the sins of his people. And he comes into fallen men and women's lives and he changes them. He changes them from loving this world and the things of this world to loving him and the hunger and thirst after him. I'm not talking to you today about religion. I'm not talking to you today about a relationship with the living Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is alive and well. The tomb is empty. He's been raised from the dead. And now he lives in his people. He lives in his people. And he sends them out as ambassadors of reconciliation, telling a lost and dying world that they can be reconciled to his Father. They can be reconciled to God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, who died for their sins. If you've never come to Christ for forgiveness of your sins, Christ said, whosoever will come to me, I will in no wise cast them out. Come today to Christ for salvation.